Yo, welcome to another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. We're your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution of the current breaking news, culture, matic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. Man, oh man, so many awesome clips coming out of the Bitcoin policy summit live stream. That was presented by Swan Bitcoin. They streamed the whole thing from the Swan Bitcoin channel. They had very high profile members of Congress. They had Tom Emmer of the House of Representatives. They had Senator Ted Cruz. They had Senator Cynthia Lummis. And we're gonna play you guys some clips in the next couple of days. Today, who we're going to focus on is Ted Cruz specifically. Yesterday, we played you Jack Mahler's bit. What I loved about Jack Mahler's bit is that he said the quiet part out loud. He said basically what we've been making the case for on Simply Bitcoin is if the U.S. does not get its act together, Bitcoiners are going to leave. And Jack Mahler's not only made that veiled threat in the very beginning of his speech, but also towards the end. And to quote him, to paraphrase him, basically said, you know, you want Bitcoiners paying taxes in Texas. You don't want them paying taxes in Dubai, right? And that highlights the power that Bitcoin gives you. Bitcoin gives you two powers, but of course, only if you take self-custody. Power number one is it gives you the power to vote with your money, obviously. Without fear of censorship, without fear of, a pushback from the regime currently running your nation state. And it also gives you the most important power that I don't think that humans have had this power, individuals, better said, have had this power for a very, very long time, which is it gives you the power to vote with your feet, right? If you could memorize 12 words, you can cross a border, and it's going to be very, very difficult for those border guards to extract the wealth, right? And, you know, some of the capital controls that are in place, right? And of course, they use the excuses. They use very similar excuses as, you know, the Financial Action Task Force and the IMF. It's all under the guise of financial stability and terrorism and money laundering and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And right now, currently, if you get on a plane and you go to another country, you have to report any assets that you have over to if you have any assets on person that are worth more than $10,000. But it's funny because when they implemented that, right, and when they implemented the reporting requirement for this $10,000 rule, back in the 70s with the Bank Secrecy Act. The thing is that $10,000 back then was the equivalent to like, I think it was like $70,000 to $100,000. So, but it's funny because they left the same number, right? And then ever so slowly inflation did its thing and politicians are not incentivized to change that number, right? So, you know, this all goes back, it all ties back to the theory from the sovereign individual that the rise of information technologies are going to empower individuals, the likes of which has never been seen before in human history. And therefore, in the long run, it's going to heavily impact the wealth extraction mechanisms that the state has at hand. And I'm not talking about specifically taxes here, right? Taxes is a whole other hot button issue. You know, some people are like, look, low taxes. Some people are like, I'm pro taxes. But I'm not going to talk about that. What I'm going to talk about is the wealth redistribution mechanism that is the most harmful, that governments are using that to pay for endless wars and to pay for these social programs that you might not agree with. They use that to buy certain votes. And that is the wealth redistribution mechanism of inflation, right? And Bitcoin is basically an opt-out mechanism. It's like, I don't want to opt into inflation. I actually want to save and use money that actually increases in purchasing power over time, right? So, you know, you got to connect the dots, right? And I think that's really what Jack Mahler said yesterday in yesterday's speech. Look, if you guys don't, you know, like accept this technology, if you don't take advantage of this technology, Bitcoiners are going to move, right? So I think that's why, you know, the Bitcoin Policy Summit was so influential in the swamp, in the Imperial City of Washington, D.C. And I think this is just the first inning, though. This is the first round. So we're very excited to cover all that today. But before we start the show, I want to introduce my awesome co-host. He's made it through the week. How you doing, Opti? How much coffee have you drank this morning,
honestly,
brother?
Honestly, not enough. We ran out of coffee over here, so I actually had to, I know, tomatoes. I had to go to Starbucks this morning and get me a double espresso and a medium coffee. I know, consumerism is bad, whatever. So I didn't have as much coffee as usual, but I think it's just starting. Maybe it's just the adrenaline of being live that, like, all right, we're good to go. But yeah, man, I really love the intro. Because it's something that we cover here every single day. It is the fact that the current world has not caught up to where the world is going yet. And this is because of Bitcoin. And it's very interesting to see the world or the powers that be try to wrap their head around what's going on right now. And they really do seem to be like dinosaurs. What's up, bro? We already know what we're doing in the news. I think we know what we're doing in the numbers, but let's bring up our guest today because he is a CFA and we are going to have this conversation about, you know, people that are supposedly in the know, that are supposedly going to guide your finances better than you. And most of them don't understand what is going on yet. But hey, recently orange pilled, and hopefully we can get that message out there so that more people catch up to speed on what we are doing here as Bitcoiners. So let's bring up Rajat. I think I said it correctly.
Rajat, welcome to the show. Could you tell everybody, for anyone who doesn't know, what a CFA is?
So a CFA is a chartered financial analyst. We basically just go through, try to analyze assets based on qualitative and quantitative features, qualities. I think Bitcoin, a lot of people in that industry, a lot of people in the traditional finance industry, they ignore Bitcoin because it has no tangibility. But I've kind of realized over time that tangibility in a digital world means nothing. So,
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
There's going to be some sauce in the culture today.
I'm really, really looking forward to the show. Anyways, everybody, no more delay. Let's jump straight into it. Let's get to the numbers. We also have a very special announcement. I'll get to it in a second. Anyways, let's start the show.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today. All right, everybody. I also want to tell you about Bitcoin 2023. It's going to be the largest Bitcoin conference on the face of the earth. Miami Beach, Florida, May 18th through the 20th, 2023. It's less than a month away. It's a couple weeks away. You can use the promo code SIMPLY to get yourself a 10% discount to this amazing conference that you don't want to miss. Let's go through some of the speakers.
Hold on, wait, Nico. Is it 21 days away?
I think it's
or was 20, yesterday it's 21 it's 20,
I think yesterday was 21
Dang,
days.
We missed it. All right. Anyways,
the speaker list includes Michael Lewis, who is the author of The Big Short, Moneyball, so some of which have been turned into very famous movies. We have Michael Saylor, Arthur Hayes. We have Alex Gladstein, Tulsi Gabbard. We have Eric Weinstein. We have Adam Back, Jack Maulers, Stacey Herbert, Patrick McHenry. He is a member of the U.S. House of Representatives. You're seeing this more and more and more and more. And I want to emphasize that we have the Bitcoin Senator, Senator Cynthia Lummis. We have a member of government from the country of Indonesia, population of 237 million people. Very curious to see what his announcement's going to be. And of course, Lynn Alden. We have Jeff Booth, Natalie Smolensky, Alex McShane, Robert Breedlove. I'm just going down the list. This is absolutely loaded. Look, Optimist is on there as well. He's going to be holding it down on the analyst desk. We have Greg Foss, Nico is going to be there. I'm going to be hosting some panels as well. We have Samson Mao. We have Matt Odell. So many awesome Bitcoiners. If you're looking to get a job in the industry, you definitely don't want to miss Bitcoin 2023. And we have a promo code for you guys. You can use promo code SIMPLY to get yourself a 10% discount. At the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is 29,130 sats per dollar, 3,433 block height, 787,379 reachable Bitcoin nodes, 17,096 blocks to halving, 52,621 halving estimates April 21st, 2024. Total Lightning Network capacity, 5,379 Bitcoin capacity value, $156 million US dollars. Realized monetary inflation, 1.76%. And the market capitalization of Bitcoin, $564 billion with a B. Anyway, so I was mentioning the Bitcoin Policy Summit that was presented by Swan Bitcoin. On the Swan Bitcoin YouTube channel, you could see the entire live stream. It's about 8 hours. So much sauce in there. Definitely recommend it. But we're gonna play you a clip from it today, just to give you an idea of what the purpose of this was, right? So we read you guys this yesterday, but just in case you guys didn't tune in, it says the conference aims to tell stories about Bitcoin that so often go untold. How Bitcoin is a human rights tool used in the struggle for democracy and global freedom, how the U.S. could leverage Bitcoin as a strategic asset to achieve its geopolitical goals, and how Bitcoin could serve as a unique stabilizer of energy grids and an unlikely player in our country's renewable energy future. Okay, so no more delay. I want to play you a clip from Ted Cruz himself, and let's hear what he has to say.
Excited and incredibly bullish on Bitcoin specifically, crypto more broadly, but Bitcoin in particular. I think Bitcoin is clearly the alpha in the crypto sphere, both in terms of coming first and also being clearly the most dominant. I think the analogy of digital gold is powerful. And the insight that led to its creation is still extraordinary. Listen, I'm a Bitcoin investor personally. I have a standing buy order. Every Monday morning I have a buy of Bitcoin that comes in, and I own a little more than two Bitcoins. So every Monday I own a little bit more. And I will say, I bought the dip, which I was quite happy with, but I'm also a long-term investor, so I'm fine with some volatility, and I recognize that there's going to be going ups and they're going to be going down, but 21 million is a number that is a firm number, and I think one of the attractions to Bitcoin, certainly for me, but for many, is as a hedge against inflation, and particularly when you have irresponsible politicians in Washington that spend money like drunken sailors, which is actually not fair to the sailors because at least they're spending their own money, and that print trillions and trillions of dollars. We see inflation all across the country. That was driven by this spending binge that happened the last 2 years in Washington, and it unleashed significant inflation. I think Bitcoin is an important check against that. I think it is also powerful in that it is decentralized, in that it is far less susceptible to government control. Listen, I like Bitcoin for the same reason that the Chinese Communist government doesn't like Bitcoin. They don't like Bitcoin, and they banned it because they can't
control it. And Elizabeth Warren doesn't like Bitcoin because she can't control it. So obviously Ted Cruz hasn't gone full circle yet. You know, he's still saying, oh, it's because Bitcoin is leading the pack. He doesn't quite understand that, you know, only Bitcoin could offer the separation of money and state because Bitcoin is the only one that is truly decentralized. It's not run by a foundation. It's not run by an elite, you know. And when I talk about fiat money, I say a bureaucratic elite that control and make the decisions and pull the strings. But as in the case with shitcoins, it's a programmer elite, you know, that or you know the developer elites that get to pick and choose what monetary policy is best suited for them to benefit and everybody else loses. Bitcoin levels the playing field, but I think the signal there when Ted Cruz was talking was really the fact that he mentioned that he was dollar cost averaging into Bitcoin. And that's what you need. You need more politicians stacking Bitcoin, because that radically changes their incentive structure. That incentivizes them to pass more favorable Bitcoin laws, that incentivizes them not to be anti-Bitcoin because they're holding it, right? So you actually want more members of government holding Bitcoin, whether they're on the left or the right, because they're incentivized to protect their investment, right? So, you know, this is a bottom-up movement. You know, this is Bitcoin's incentives stay winning, right? And ever so slowly, that, you know, that DCA that Ted Cruz is holding on to is going to be more and more significant as number go up, technology does this thing. So Ted Cruz is going to be even more incentivized to protect his investment. We know that Cynthia Lummis as well, right, has, you know, an investment in Bitcoin. She's a hodler of Bitcoin. So we need that number to keep going up. So we have two members of Congress confirmed that are Bitcoin hodlers. We have 48 more to go. And as NGU technology does its thing, I suspect that number will continue to go up, right? So this is a start. This is, you know, this is about infiltration. It's really infiltration, for lack of a better word. This is a peaceful infiltration into the members of government, getting them to hold onto Bitcoin. And if they hold onto Bitcoin, they're not incentivized to attack it. And of course, I know what a lot of Bitcoiners are saying in the audience, Nico, this doesn't matter. You know, I run my own node. I take self-custody of my own stack. This doesn't affect me, you know, F the state. And you know what? I think in the long run, you're right. But during this transition period where we're transitioning from the current system into the new system, I'll tell you something. They could sure make your life a living hell. And they are hell bent on doing just that. We know what the Biden administration's stance is on Bitcoin. We know how Elizabeth Warren feels about Bitcoin. So there are definitely hostile members of government that are against this thing. But as a number go up, technology does its thing, and as Mother Nature also does its thing. And, you know, the fact is that the vast majority of people that hold Bitcoin are the younger generation. And as the younger generation start to get older and they start to get into positions of power, you know, and they start to become CEOs, they start to become senators and congressmen and congresswomen, right? It's going to be very difficult for them to act against their own incentives, right? So it's the slow takeover, the slow infiltration. And as time progresses, this will just continue to accelerate and accelerate and accelerate as number go up technology is the best convincer. That is what got you here, is number go up technology. That is what gets most people here. But it's funny, you come for the wealth, you come for the riches, you come because you think you're going to get rich, but you stay for the revolution, right? And this is what it's all about. Anyways, Opti, what's your take on this? And then we'll pass it on to our guest.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I think as the resident tinfoil hat wearer, I have to say, look, I fundamentally am not the biggest fan of any politician, period. Recent history and ancient history has shown us that most politicians are not to be trusted. But the more recent variety of them are all bought and paid for by big biz. With that being said, I do love hearing Ted Cruz spread the Bitcoin signal. And because it's something that we talk about here all the time, is the more people holding Bitcoin, the more that people realize that Bitcoin isn't this big, bad boogeyman, but it's going to actually improve their lives, improve their families' lives. And this is why we do what we do every single day. But just to touch on some of the points that Ted was talking about, you know, Bitcoin is not just the alpha of the crypto landscape. Like, Bitcoin is the apex predator of money, as Bitcoiners have been saying on Twitter. And it's the best form of money that we've ever had in the world. And I think it's slowly but surely starting to wake people up, and they're slowly but surely starting to realize the 10x improvement that Bitcoin is over the current system and our current money. Again, Ted Cruz, he's almost there. He does sound very orange-pilled, but it's Bitcoin, not crypto. But hey, he is a part of the DCA army, and this is what we need. We need more people in, I hate to say positions of power, but we need more individuals out there stacking Bitcoin consistently, feeling the effects of number go up on their lives, opting out of the rat race, opting out of the fiat matrix. And I mean, he's saying all the things that we say all the time. You know, Bitcoin is a hedge against monetary inflation. Bitcoin is a way for you to save. You know, he's got that Monday morning stat coming in. He says what we say. You know, I like Bitcoin because they can't control it. No one can control it. I like Bitcoin for the same reason that China doesn't like it, because they can't control it. Like, this is good for Bitcoin, continuously spreading this signal. Again, say what you want about Ted Cruz, but more people holding Bitcoin means the more people realize there's nothing to be afraid of. And the more people hold Bitcoin, the more we can usher in this Bitcoin future that we all know will happen. And it is a more prosperous future, because those in control currently have been able to steal from the rest of the people, whether it's through inflation, whether it's through taxation. And now we have a money that literally protects you from that madness. So people fighting Bitcoin is a losing battle, but that's where we are right now. But the more people wake up to the idea that you can't fight Bitcoin, you're better off just stacking sats with the rest of us, people's lives will improve and the message will get out there. And I just love to hear it, man. Again, I'm not the biggest fan of politicians, but yeah, Ted Cruz sounds like a Bitcoiner to me. Except there's one thing, Teddy. Stop doxing your holdings, bro. Like, I know that's what makes people feel good, especially coming from a traditional financial world. It's like, yo, you know, I only hold this much Bitcoin. It's not too much. It's at least some, and it makes people feel good about the fact that, like, okay, he's not like he's not fully balls deep in Bitcoin, but at least he's got his toes in there. But hey, don't dox your holdings, bro. Like, you don't want to be doing that. That's not a good thing to be doing. But I understand. It's like the level one Bitcoiner stuff. Like, how coins you have, bro? How coins you have, bro? But yeah, hey. That was some pure signal. He's like, I don't know, this close. I think the Bitcoin, not crypto, axiom is like his way of, like, you know, not being too overtly aggressive about the message. But once he's just full out Bitcoin maxi on us, I might change my tune and might actually like a politician or two in America.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even about liking a politician. Like, it's not even about liking Nayib Bukele. It's not even about liking, even though I do like Nayib Bukele, but it's really about aligned incentives, right? And I know, for example, if Ted Cruz has a nice stack, or I know if Nayib Bukele, he's bet his country's future on Bitcoin, making Bitcoin legal tender, I don't really have to trust him 100% or like him 100%, but I trust their incentives, right? I trust their incentives, make them a little bit more predictable on what they're going to do. Do you think Ted Cruz is going to be for any anti-Bitcoin regulation that might protect, that might affect, you know, the worth of his bag? Of course not. You're not going to act against your own incentives, right? So anyways, that's what it's about. It's the slow infiltration, right? Am I going to go down this rabbit hole? Yes. Okay, I will go down this rabbit hole. There's a very famous saying called the slow march through the institutions, right? And there has been political ideologies that have done this successfully throughout history. And Bitcoin, well, it's a slow march through the institutions, baby. And we will slowly take them over one by one by one. And they will, and these people will be holding Bitcoin, right? Why? Because number go up. Why? Because it provides the best incentives. So good luck fighting against that. Bitcoin's incentives will always win over government coercion. A central bank digital currency does not get rid of inflation. And that is something that we must highlight and we must point out. Anyways, Rajat, what are your thoughts on all this, brother? Are we seeing things that are not there? Are we crazy? Are we crazy Bitcoiners or connecting the dots that don't quite exist?
I think Bitcoiners are generally a little bit, I think there was an article from the New York Times that said Bitcoiners aren't financially literate, something along those lines. But I noticed that a lot of the people who are, they don't like Bitcoin because they see the fluctuations in price. So they think that it's not an inflation hedge, but I think most people don't understand how inflation works either, right? I mean, most politicians don't understand. I don't think Jerome Powell understands how Bitcoin, how inflation works, to be honest. Like, based on the things that he says, based on just whatever comes out of his mouth, it just makes him seem like he doesn't know what he's talking about. I think there was something where there was a clip where he said, "We're learning more that we don't know about inflation. We don't understand about inflation." It's pretty crazy that he's the one who's pretty much handling the monetary policy for the whole world, right? And he doesn't understand monetary policy, it seems. So I know a lot of the posts that I put up, I mean, it's constantly, Bitcoin's not an inflation hedge. It wouldn't have gone down so much in value if it was, but clearly there's a lack of understanding there.
Someone commented this, and absolutely, Rajat, and someone commented this, and I would like to respond, right? So Steve Dre says, Cruz knows how loaded up with miners Texas is, and he will be up for re-election soon. Exactly. That's the point. That's the point, is that you don't have to trust these people individually. You just look at, they're incentivized to do this. They're incentivized to say these certain things. A big portion of a nice chunk of the Texas economy is coming from Bitcoin miners. So obviously a senator from Texas, what is he going to do? He's going to try to protect that industry. So this is what we're talking about, aligned incentives. And, you know, Bitcoin is all about incentives. It's literally baked into the game theory. We have aligned incentives and they're advocating for a system that has disaligned incentives. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the news. But before we get to the news, I have to make an announcement. Coming up, the Touch the Tips ceremony is going to be happening in Miami at the Bitcoin Grove, where BTC Sessions and I we're going to be coming together and we're going to be having a live Simply Sessions on stream. I will be dying. Yes, I will be dying a portion of my hair blonde, and Ben and I will be touching our blonde tips. I know that sounds weird, but that's just because
mad weird.
That's just because that's your imagination speaking. Anyways, I want to read some of the description. Luscious golden locks shall combine and possibly create a god candle, the likes of which Bitcoin has never seen. We will have also a few drinks at the event. Upon successful hair dye treatment, the two streaks shall come together and be as one. Will hashtag touch the tips result in a massive price pump? Is this part of Yellow's prophecy? Was this the trigger that Bajal foresaw in his $1 million price prediction? No one could be sure, but you can be damn sure that attending will make you part of the Touch Tips tribe forever. Join us at Bitcoin Grove Tuesday, May 16th, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. And if you want to know more about it, check the video description. There's a link to it and you can buy yourself some tickets. Anyways, everybody, no more delay. Let's get to the news. Let's do this.
The Daily News.
The Daily News is brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Check out the brand new limited edition color, the transparent green jade. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air gap Bitcoin transactions, scan and display QR codes directly on the device, assign transactions, and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin. I also want to give a shout out to our other sponsor, the Orange Pill app, Stack Friends Who Stack Sats. It's the number one resource for Bitcoin-only events. Create your Bitcoin-only event. Find Bitcoin-only events near you. Search by location, by date. Are you going to Miami? I'm sure your day will be full of amazing speakers and talks, but what are you going to be doing at night? There's nothing worse than being in a city full of Bitcoiners, but you're in your hotel room watching TV. Hop on the Orange Pill app events page and find all the Bitcoiner events on the fly. Download the Orange Pill app today in your app store. Anyways, let's move on to what we are going to be talking about today. This is some victory. This is victory. And again, the reason I want to mention this is because the same exact thing happened in Nigeria. In the case of Argentina, the Argentinian government received a bailout by our friends over at the IMF, of which Christine Lagarde used to be the head of, Opti's ex-girlfriend. And, you know, she got convicted of a crime and they rewarded her with becoming the head of the European Central Bank. It's interesting how those things work, right? Anyway, so, but what happened was very interesting. Even with the government of Argentina trying to de-incentivize the adoption of Bitcoin, the exact opposite happened. And something very similar happened in Nigeria. In Nigeria, they rolled out their central bank digital currencies, the e-Naira. But what happened? Very low adoption rate and very high Bitcoin adoption rate, specifically in the younger population. Now, why is this the case? Well, when the guy on TV in the suit that's supposed to be representing the government saying, hey, you must hold on to your state money. It's the patriotic thing to do. But when you're, in this case of Argentina, enduring 104% inflation, in the case of Nigeria dealing with double-digit inflation, you don't really care about what the guy on TV has to say. You care about whether you can or you cannot put food on the table for your family. So the alternative of Bitcoin becomes a lot more alluring to you, right? And this is what we were talking about. We've been talking about a lot about incentives during this show. This is an example of Bitcoin's incentives. And there's really nothing the established order could do about that. They're not going to be able to match Bitcoin's incentives. They're always going to want to debase, and they're always going to want to control the money flows, right? And because of those two reasons, no matter how they roll out the CBDC, Bitcoin will always be superior in the eyes of people because its incentives are just better. Anyways, it goes on to say, the growing crypto economy is constantly at odds with economic policies coming out of ailing Latin American economies like Argentina. The Argentine peso informal dollar exchange rate, called dólar blue, is making new highs, reaching a 497-to-1 ratio on April 25th, and inflation numbers surpassed 100% year-over-year as of March. And yet, despite these numbers, the International Monetary Fund is negotiating a new payment agreement with Argentinian President Alberto Fernandez's government, which reportedly includes a demand for more restrictive crypto policies from the Fernandez administration. That's right. The current clauses weren't enough. Now they want even more restrictive policies, even though the country is dealing with 100% inflation. Who are these people? I'm going to pull it out. I don't like saying this very often. These people are monetary fucking demons, okay? What type of BS is this? Clearly, the IMF does not care about the people of Argentina. Clearly. Excuse me. Clearly, the IMF cares about the IMF. But there is some good news. And the good news is that still, the scene over there, the Bitcoin scene, or to be fair, the crypto scene, of which you could be pretty sure that Bitcoin is a part of, obviously, is still booming despite that, just like in Nigeria. Why? Because of incentives. Anyways, so it goes on to say, Argentina's crypto scene is still booming. In the context of Argentina, where the price of US dollars has doubled since last year's IMF negotiations began, crypto stablecoins like USDT and DAI continue to gain popularity through informal Forex and crypto exchanges called Cuevas. In addition, international crypto exchanges like Binance are expanding to capitalize on demand from the Argentinian market. Quote, this year is an election year, so action is unlikely. He added that his company's relationship with regulators has always been cordial and constructive. Meanwhile, Argentina's Congress is about to pass a new anti-laundering law with explicit references to exchanges and purchase-sale traders, right? Do you guys always hear that? It's always the same thing. It's under the guise of money laundering. It's under the guise of terrorism. It's under the guise of financial stability. It's always under the guise, right? So anyways, it goes on to say, the law is aligned with the Intergovernmental Financial Action Task Force. We've heard them before. We've heard about them before. The law will create a new registry and guidelines for crypto exchanges and traders, classifying most companies offering services related to crypto services as virtual asset service providers. Such VAS will be responsible for reporting on the behaviors and activity of their users, which could raise privacy and feasibility concerns for anyone working in Argentina's growing crypto economy. It's unclear how the local demand for cryptocurrencies is influencing the Argentina's government agenda, or if the IMF or international bodies are the main force driving national policy. I suspect they are. After failing to meet the IMF requirements to refinance their debt, accommodating the IMF's anti-crypto stance is perhaps one of the most immediate ways that Argentina could show foreign lenders goodwill at the proverbial negotiating table. But, like, what about the people of Argentina? It's a bailout for the government of Argentina. What about the people of Argentina? It's never talked about. It's if the government is like representing the people, but the government took an action that is counterproductive to the people. And the same thing happened in Nigeria, where the government of Nigeria installed capital controls to try to coerce people into central bank digital currencies. So it looks like to me, right? And this is what we always say, Bitcoin exposes, shines the light of truth on incentives, right? And it really asks a very important question. And I think this is a very important question that the US is going to ask too as well, right? Are governments really by the people for the people, or are governments by the government for the government as long as we control the money and the money supply? It's a very, very important question. Do you think governments are going to willy-nilly just give up their privilege of being able to create money out of thin air that everyone else has to work for? And this is what the separation of money and state is all about. This is why we're here. And we must highlight these questions. Wait a second. Is this in my best interest? Are legal tender laws in my best interest? Why am I being forced to use a money that steals from me? Is that in my best interest? What are you using with that godlike power of being able to print money for free that everyone else has to work for? Endless wars, as is in the case in the US. The US defaulted in 1971. And the way that they avoided that default is they took the US off the gold standard. Everyone knows what happened. Everyone knows the very famous website, and I suggest you visit it if you haven't done so. What the F happened in 1971? The cost of housing became unaffordable. Wages became stagnant. The cost of living went through the roof. The rich got richer. The people that had the means to have their wealth and assets got significantly wealthier, while the rest of us, the lower and middle classes, specifically the younger generations, if you're under the age of 35, you probably don't own anything. So is this system that they're fighting for, and they're saying, oh, this is for the greater good, is this system really for the greater good, or is this system really for them? And this is something, by the way, that Tucker said, and we played you in a clip, I think it was yesterday, he said at the very end of his clip, he said, look, The media, the power structures, Nayib Bukele wrote the article, Don't Drink the Elite's Kool-Aid, made it very clear. Are these systems all really for the benefit of everybody, or are they for the people that were it from the current system, also known as the contillionaire class? And of course, not to mention all the buzzwords and all the propaganda and all the memes coming out of their version of the Bitcoin conference, the World Economic Forum. They're telling you straight up, don't own nothing, be happy, eat your bugs, and shut the fuck up. Right. So, yeah, man, this is crazy. This is the separation of money and state. But I love Bitcoin because it continues to expose their lies, misrepresentations and spin. And all our job is as individuals, not only the ones of us that have platforms, not only the ones of us that have built up Twitter followings, but it falls down to all of us individuals. If you can create a Twitter profile, if you have a camera, if you have a microphone, you are part of this. Get out there, make your voice heard. Expose their lies. We have the truth on our side. Bitcoin is truth. So take agency. Look at the people around you. Look at your no-coiner friends. Look at your family and get them on the Bitcoin standard. Get them on the Bitcoin standard. The more people are on Team Orange, the more people that are taking Bitcoin into self-custody, the more people take self-custody. And if the vast majority of people are taking self-custody, we win this thing and there's absolutely nothing they can do about it. But anyways, if you are taking Bitcoin into self-custody, don't put your generational wealth, your Bitcoin wallet seed phrase on paper. Put it on steel. Don't lose your generational wealth because you put it on paper, which is prone to water damage, fire damage. Your dog could eat it. This is the BitPlates Domino, and it's made from highly corrosion-resistant 316 stainless steel, offering marine-grade stainless steel, offering the ultimate protection against extremes of temperatures. And you can use the promo code SIMPLY to get 10% off. Don't store your generational wealth on paper. Store it on steel. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts on all this, bro? All this fucking madness.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, it's very obvious that the world is asleep right now and they don't know how the world of money works. And it's by design, obviously, as we understand, as someone that has woken up from the fiat matrix. And it really is as simple as we have two roads ahead of us, a world of total control and a world of freedom built on Bitcoin. You can't convince me otherwise. And the choice can be made for you, or you can make the choice for yourself and opt in into the Bitcoin system, into the Bitcoin network, and be on the bright orange future, as we always talking about. And I believe humans, if given the choice, if given the fair choice, they will always choose Bitcoin. And we have the real time examples of Nigeria, you know, Argentina, El Salvador, and soon more to follow. So this is not just a theoretical. I fundamentally believe that humans want to seek freedom. They're just, hive minded, and they're afraid to stick out from the pack, or else they get pushed back into the pack. But I do believe that if given the fair choice, that humans will choose freedom. So obviously, if any country in the world right now needs Bitcoin, I think Argentina might be number one on that list. But of course, this is a global phenomenon, and everyone in the world will either soon need Bitcoin, or rather does need Bitcoin. They just don't understand it yet. But we have a friend, a member of the Simply Bitcoin team, Wine, who's currently in Argentina, and he's been keeping us updated on how fast the currency is hyperinflating. And it's absolutely insane. He's got wads of dollars, of pesos that he's using, and they're just going up and up. And he keeps telling me that anyone that can leave is already leaving. But we do have in our scheduling a few Argentinians on the ground that are going to come on and keep us updated on what is happening there and the amount of Bitcoin adoption. So we don't have to just trust the official sources. We'll have some on the ground resources for you guys soon. So just keep in touch. But again, and guys, as Bitcoiners, you guys know what we know, that you do not need to ask permission from a government official to use Bitcoin. You can adopt Bitcoin today. You can, you know, choose to save in a money that doesn't steal from you today. You don't need to ask someone permission. You don't need to wait till a legal tender. You can choose freedom today. You can choose to protect your life's work today. You can choose to protect yourself and your family today. Opt out of this madness. Save in Bitcoin. Take Bitcoin into self-custody. This is as simple as it has to be, guys. Like, we don't need a top-down approach to this. All we really need is for every single one of us to just get a few more Bitcoiners around us and having more people hold Bitcoin. And this is how we win. Getting Bitcoin in the hands of people. Doesn't matter where you are on the globe. Everyone needs Bitcoin, and everyone will soon wake up to the Bitcoin message. It's only a matter of time because everyone's on the fiat standard, and we all know the inevitable end of all fiat money. It's what's happening in Argentina.
It goes to zero.
It goes to zero. All right. Anyways,
Rajat, what's your take on this? And then we'll hit the culture. You're muted, my friend.
At the end of the day, I think this is a good thing just because it exposes their incentives, right? I mean, the people who are taking advantage of the current system, I mean, they're taking advantage at the expense of everybody else, right? And then the people who are being taken advantage of, if they're supporting the current system, the legacy system, it's because they don't understand how Bitcoin works, right? So it's kind of a loop where the people in power don't want the people at the bottom to understand. And the people at the bottom are listening to the people in power, and they're getting screwed over constantly. Like, it's just until you actually put in the time, until you start making your own decisions, until you start reading between the lines, you're not going to change your perspective. Your future is going to stay exactly the same. Your bank account is going to keep growing, but the value that you can transfer it for, so what you can buy with it, I mean, it'll keep on dropping, right?
Yeah, exactly. 100%. This is why we're here. Guys, we're going to win this thing. I know it. I know it in my heart. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the culture. We got a lot to talk about. Let's check it out.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today. All right, guys, I also want to tell you about Swan's new offering. Bitcoin is generational wealth, and you could secure your bright orange future with the Swan IRA. Real Bitcoin, no taxes. Swan offers both traditional and Roth options to best fit your needs. Create your IRA and start adding Bitcoin in less than 1 minute. Transfers and rollovers are available. Swan's Bitcoin experts will get you set up with no transfer fees and no minimum balance requirements. This is real Bitcoin, not an ETF or other derivative. Get the real thing and get it at Swan. Go to swan.com/IRA for more details. And if you have any doubts, questions, concerns, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter. My DMs are open. Anyways, Opti, what are we going to talk about today, my friend?
All right. So, you know, I like to feature our guests in the culture. And I went through Rajat's Twitter, and I found some awesome threads. And again, guys, as we mentioned in the beginning, he is a CFA. He comes from the traditional financial world. And this thread here, which I'm basically going to have you just sum up, it's very interesting how people that are, you know, in the position, in the job is to manage money, no one understands how money works. And it's very interesting that when you come to Bitcoin, it not only revolutionizes your whole worldview, but then you get back to the basics and you ask the simple question, what is money? Anyways, Rajat, tell us your little Bitcoin story, your journey, and we'll jump into some of these other tweets that I got here. You're muted, bro.
In 2020, when the pandemic the lockdowns happened, I had a lot more time to just spend learning, taking the time to understand what's going on around me. I noticed that over time, prices of things are just constantly going up. I mean, it's not like we're really getting raises to match those. I mean, the raises that I was getting were around 3 to 5% when the real cost of goods was increasing significantly more. So in 2020, I think I might have listened to the Bitcoin Standard, the audiobook for that, the book. It was, I think it just completely changed how I thought about the history of money. how gold, why gold is even valuable. I mean, most people still don't know why gold is valuable. They think it's valuable because it's scarce, but it's not. It's because there's a cost to mining it. And that's what gives gold value. I mean, right now, Bitcoin has that same value. Mining it has a cost. More people want to mine it. So there are, the cost is constantly going up. And because of that, because the supply is constantly decreasing, the demand that's exponentially increasing will obviously increase the price over time. The number goes up. I think that was something that really got me. The number goes up. Technology. Over time, I started learning about why Bitcoin is the money that most people will choose over the long term. Right now, a lot of institutional investors don't understand how Bitcoin works. So, I mean, this is the first time that the regular, every average citizen, everyday person can actually front run the institutions. And it's a once in a lifetime opportunity, and most people are missing out on it, and they're waiting for institutions to guide them to take the lead. But I mean, that's something that I didn't want to do. I used my time to actually learn. I actually listened to a lot of your podcasts. I listen to them every single day. I mean, it opens your perspective on what money really is. It's a way to transfer value. It's really nothing else. It doesn't have to be physical. It doesn't have to be tangible. As long as people believe that something is money, it will be money. And Bitcoin is the first form of digital scarcity, and a lot of people are finally understanding that.
Absolutely love it. If you do recommend Bitcoin, how has it been received by your peers and your customers?
Oh, they hate it. I still throw it out there. I don't really care. I think in the next 10, 15 years, the people who are hating on the posts that I make, I'm okay with it, right? Because it challenges their beliefs. And when your beliefs are challenged, you're always going to be pushing back, right? So, I mean, the comments on a lot of my posts, they're telling me that I'm a sellout. But at the end of the day, the people who aren't putting in the research are the ones that are sellouts, right? So they're not making a knowledgeable decision. They're not making a logical decision. They're going based on the fact that the US dollar will always be money, and that will never change. So I think a lot of the people who are making money from the legacy system, they're making money and they're okay with it. They're happy with it, but they don't realize that there's billions of other people who have no bank accounts, who are constantly living in poverty because the money that they're using is just losing value day in, day out.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I do have some more tweets over here that I think are very good. And it's stuff that we say all the time on the show. So I can tell that you're definitely listening. You go, Warren Buffett, Bitcoin has no value. Hillary Clinton, Bitcoin has the potential for undermining currencies, for undermining the role of the dollar as the reserve currency, for destabilizing nations, perhaps starting with small ones, but going much larger. And I love the pun you put here. How can something with no value undermine the dollar, something that apparently has value, and destabilize nations? And we kind of talked about this off air. You were saying the same thing, how it doesn't have to be tangible for people to accept it and for people to see the value in Bitcoin. So have you always been this radical?
Sorry. What was that?
I said, have you always been this radical, or did Bitcoin, explode your whole worldview?
No, Bitcoin changed everything, man. I think before Bitcoin, I really did think that money has to be tangible. I used to be the one, the type of person who would save a little bit of cash at home just in case for emergencies. My mom used to always have just money in at home, just cash. And I want to tell her, oh, this money is constantly losing value. But I mean, most people aren't going to understand that because they don't. I mean, financial literacy isn't taught in schools, right? That's my personal goal. I want to start with teaching people how to save money, how to increase their income, how to decrease expenses, and then move over to the Bitcoin side of things. I wouldn't even say that this view is radical. I think it's just logic, right? I mean, why are they scared of something that has no value at the end of the day? I mean, if you're thinking about it that way, you're realizing that there's a lot of lies out there. And if you fall for all of them, I mean, you're just putting yourself behind, right? You're falling for their trap.
100%. Couldn't agree more. We do have a good question here. And I kind of asked it as well, but just to be clear, Roman asks, is it frowned upon by the certification folks? So your peers, the people that go to these schools that, you know, spend their time learning the traditional financial world. What are they telling you about Bitcoin?
I think the CFAs, the people who have actually gone through the actual education, they understand why Bitcoin is valuable. Right, I think they understand that you need to put a lot. You need to be logical when you're making these investment decisions. A lot of the there's for some reason there are a lot of people who are financial advisors who haven't done the research, but they're telling people not to buy Bitcoin because Bitcoin is speculative. At this point, I don't think it is anymore. And I even the CFA Institute. I mean, they're introducing blockchain. Right, it's not like they're ignoring it. When the CFA Institute is a company, the company knows where the world is going. They're part of the finance industry. So if they're the ones that are talking about blockchain, if the new curriculum includes blockchain technology, then I don't get how people who know anything about the CFA are arguing against blockchain and Bitcoin.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of something that Bitcoiners always say is anyone that really has done the research and at one time was a Bitcoin skeptic, after going through the research, everyone gets transformed into a Bitcoin believer. I've seen this happen over and over and over again. And a lot of us basically come to Bitcoin with the idea of trying to debunk it, and then we just become ardent Bitcoiners. Anyways, this one might be a little contested in the chat, but I think I fundamentally agree with your ideas here. And you go, if you invest in global stocks, global real estate, and Bitcoin, I think there's a strong chance your portfolio will perform well over the next 30 to 40 years. Even if the US dollar fails, we will always need businesses to create products, houses to live in, and money to transact with. Can you unpack this a little bit for the people out there?
So I think a lot of people, they think that stocks aren't the way to invest. I don't agree with that, just because we're always going to have, like, let's say, for example, Apple, we're always going to use a phone. I mean, Apple might be phased out, but eventually with the S&P 500, let's say you're buying the top 500 companies in the US. A lot of those companies have global relationships. So Apple, for example, they're opening up a factory to create parts in India. They have, they have another one in Hong Kong. They're working all around the world to build these relationships. I think owning those companies that are actually innovating, maybe Apple isn't innovating anymore. I mean, that's an opinion, but owning companies that are providing products that we need, those companies are going to eventually end. I mean, they're going to do well, right? I mean, at the end of the day, those companies are basically having shares of those companies, having ownership in those companies is giving you cash flow, while holding US dollars is guaranteeing a loss over time. It's just a way to opt out of the US dollar. I think any investment, stocks, real estate, not bonds. Bonds are directly giving you exposure to the US dollar, but stocks, real estate, and Bitcoin, I think all of those, because of the scarcity aspect, are going to outperform regardless of what happens. I think Bitcoin will probably outperform all of the real estate and stock investments, but I think all three will do well over the long term just because they are actual inflation hedges, right? Because of the scarcity.
Yeah, I'd agree that any company that can have sats flowing in that can be profitable on a Bitcoin standard, you know, I think it'll be a little delay before we know which ones are going to be able to make that transition, but there will be companies in the future, guys. Anyways, this last tweet I have here, in the sake of keeping this a little brief, what would you say to people out there that maybe have a CFA that doesn't recommend Bitcoin? Because what we really try to do here is get Bitcoin into the average person's hands, just, you know, entertain them, but also give them the message. And I really like the beginning of this tweet. You said eventually it will be next to impossible for the average person to own an entire Bitcoin. Anyone who doesn't pay attention now will be fighting for scraps later, just like any other monetary asset in the past. And this is something that I believe as well. And this is something that I try to get across to everyone that will listen. We have the opportunity of a lifetime right now to stack Bitcoin. And most people are going to fight you when you're trying to give them the keys to their cage. So what would you say to the average person? What is your Bitcoin pitch to people that will listen to your advice?
Honestly, I don't care if they buy. They don't have to buy if they don't want to. Just do the research. Take the time to learn about how Bitcoin works. Don't just assume because you saw Jamie Dimon say that Bitcoin is a pet rock. Don't just assume that it is. These people aren't trying to help you. They're trying to make money, right? I mean, bankers, I used to work at a bank. I know exactly how banks make their money and their main way of making money. Let's say, for example, I worked on the bond desk at one of the Canadian banks. The fees that people paid were more than the returns that they were getting. So the money that you expect to be increasing in value over time, it's actually going into these bankers' pockets. So, I mean, just do the research. It doesn't matter if you buy or not. If you want, go and buy a dollar's worth. Maybe it'll get some skin in the game. It'll get you to start doing research. But at the end of the day, it's all about knowledge. It's about making better decisions. When you're just ignoring a whole asset class, you're missing out for the future, right? And I don't know many millennials, many Gen Z that own gold, right? They own Bitcoin though. So there's a reason for that. And people assume that these younger generations are stupid, but maybe there's something you're missing out on. You know what I mean?
100%. Couldn't agree. Anyways, Rajat, really, really appreciate it. Bonico, you have a last question? Or are we going straight into the meme review?
Let's hit the meme review, brother. Let's hit the meme review. Let's do it.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks. All right, everybody. So I've been getting a lot of DMs. The Miami Bitcoin conference is coming up very, very, very soon. Nico, Opti, what are you guys doing? Opti and I will be at the Bitcoin Miami at the Bitcoin 2023 conference in Miami Beach. You can use promo code Simply. You get 10% off. We will be also at the Touching the Tips ceremony at the Bitcoin Grove during the Bitcoin conference week. And I will also be at the Thank God for Bitcoin 2023 Miami conference as well. Get your tickets quickly, specifically for the Thank God for Bitcoin conference, because there's only a limited amount. Those are the events that Opti and I are going to be at. And of course, we're going to be around, you know, a lot of the pleb parties and a lot of these other things. So I hope that answers some of your questions. And again, guys, make the journey, make the pilgrimage. Thank you, Opti. I appreciate it. It's great to be able to hang out with Bitcoiners in the flesh, in person. So definitely don't want to miss these events. Pure Signal. And if you're looking to get a job in the industry, I can't emphasize this enough. These conferences are step number one to doing just that. Anyways, Opti, what do you have for the meme review today, brother?
Yeah, I got you. The only thing I have in the books, though, is the Toxic Happy Hour rooftop party. So we'll see where I end up during the week. Anyways, shouts out to McLovin, because he was trolling me in the chat saying I was going to rug pull the meme review and everyone just shows up for the meme review and then they get orange pilled along the way. And they're like, OK, you guys are actually giving us some signal, but we just came for the memes. And memes are a very important aspect of what we are doing here, guys. Someone was in the chat saying, don't you guys know we are in World War III? What do I say every single day? We are in an information war. Tweets are the bullets. Memes are the artillery. Guys, it has never been more important, in my opinion, to spread the Bitcoin signal than it is today. I look around outside, and it's never been more obvious why we need Bitcoin. We are seeing everywhere in real time the reasons why we need Bitcoin, and the way to protect yourselves and your family is to save in Bitcoin. As the saying goes, only put as much fiat in Bitcoin as you don't want to lose your purchasing power. So Here we go. Here's the memes. Shouts out to everyone in the chat still trolling me. This first meme is by at Empty Banks, and he goes, the real flippening is when you stop wasting your energy on scams and join the real fight. And we got an iceberg here, and it's someone looking at a mountain, and the mountain is price. And then on the bottom, we have Bitcoin and its adoption, users, remittances, nodes, peer-to-peer, wallets, layer two, SegWit, energy, distribution, difficulty adjustment, taproot, hodling, cryptography, and decentralization. Shouts out to Empty Banks. This next one is attributed to Nico, but we all know that this is BTC therapist work. Nico, I see you, but you guys can see up here. It's tagged here. Anyways, we got a Wojak crying, and it's the top. We got crypto. One Wojak crying, my coin is better. And then another Wojak crying, no, my coin is better. And then we got some Chad Bitcoiners at the bottom, and it goes Bitcoin. We got one going, BTC is truth. And the other Chad Bitcoiner going, BTC is hope. Let's free the world from tyranny and oppression. This is the why of everything that we do. And I saw this one as well. So I guess this might just be, I should have just done all BTC therapists today, but I chose not to. Here's another BTC therapist meme, and he goes, wake up, pour coffee, buy Bitcoin. This is the way. Anyways, we got a picture of his desk over here, and we got on the computer, you just bought 0.01 Bitcoin on Swan. And then we got a Jade and a cold card and his to-do list, DCA, go to a meetup and orange pill people. He's got his Stratum V2 book saver. He's got some fold cards. He's got his Satoshi coffee, his El Salvador flag, his green skull of Satoshi. He's got Simply Bitcoin and Bitcoin magazine on the clipboard. We got Sailor.
There is no second best.
We got the white paper. We got yellow. We got his hat. He has yet to go to his job at the McDonald's serving us fries and the Bitcoin standard and some orange pills. I absolutely love this one, bro. Okay, this next one. Shout out to Cam Gage. Keeps tagging me in a lot of good memes. And he perfected his hashtag game. So maybe he heard last time. Anyways, he goes, anyone else having troubles withdrawing money from a bank? Hashtag Bitcoin, hashtag banking crisis. And we got Kermit the Frog looking amazed at a banker. And he goes, when you go to the bank and ask to withdraw $5,000 in cash and they ask you why you need the money. And Kermit goes, motherfucker, is it my money or not? This is just a fundamental question. Okay, this next one. Very meta by our friend Away Slice. The beef steak captain, and he's got a picture of a Mac. A Macintosh classic. And he goes, dear Boomer, in 1990, after 14 years in business, this computer was Apple's premier product. Apple stock closed that year at 31 cents, up roughly 23% for the year. Many thought they were too late. Bitcoin is 14 years old. Are you reading this on an Apple product? Hitting you with the meta signal. Shouts out to Away Slice. This next one is by our resident toxic Bitcoiner in Twitter spaces, aka Vikingo, aka Vikingo Bitcoin 9. And he just goes hashtag Bitcoin. And we got what's this guy's name again? Oh man, I'm blanking on what his name is. God. So bad at popular culture now. Anyways, he goes, my feelings when Bitcoin is, and we got a straight face pumping, straight face dumping, straight face trading sideways, straight face blame, straight face accused. And then he turns into a Wolverine monster when it's compared with shit coins. This is the way. It's very funny to see Bitcoiners. They're like the nicest people usually. And then you trigger them and they become savage, savage Bitcoiners if you basically say Bitcoin is not the way or if it's compared to shit coins. Anyways, this last meme is by at Cappy Bitcoin, and we got a Spartan here, I think, a Roman soldier, a Chad Roman Bitcoin soldier, and he goes, orange pills crush fiat bills. This is the way. Stack them sats, boys and girls. Anyways, drop your meme review score in the chat as we cover ours live. My meme review score chat today is, oh yeah, his name's Machete. Machete. Okay, machete. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, my meme review score is my Starbucks water bottle that I bought this morning because I bought Starbucks coffee and I was getting a dehydration headache while I was in line. So I'm drinking water.
I'm going to give it 4 batteries. Power boost. Duracell.
Duracell. Wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. His name is Johnny Trejo. Dude, I'm so bad with popular culture. Anyways, Rajat, what's your score today?
My score is the CFA Institute Charter. Just because a lot of people hate on it. They think that it's stupid. So to me, it's a 10.
Okay.
Perfect.
I like that. Okay. Anyways, everybody, before we get to the meme scores from the audience, I want to give a shout out to the awesome clothing company that sponsors Simply Bitcoin. I will be wearing, if you see me at the airport, I literally will be wearing this hoodie 99% of the time. It's stylish. It's comfy. This is the classic represent black hoodie. Opti's wearing the decentralized core made X real ones. Love that. Also, by the way, if you're looking to get Simply Bitcoin merch, apparently new hats were just made available on the store once again. So if you're trying to get a Simply Bitcoin hat, they are available. Go to representltd.com, search Simply Bitcoin, and use the promo code simply-bitcoin. Get yourself a 10% discount on anything on the store, not just Simply Bitcoin merch. Anyways, Opti, let's get to some of the meme scores. Let's do it.
Okay. I only have two so far.
No, Opti. It's the buzzer, okay? Of which you control today. So first by Steve Dre, rated Spinal Tap worthy. Okay, next one by the P-Man Van. We got score, me telling a banker that he can go fiat himself. All right, next one is Ranmore, meme score equals 9-volt cold power. If you know, you know.
Wait, I think this is a score.
Dual till Rave Elevator says dual till Don Vampire Danny Trejo. And we got a Apollo 21 score, 21 million board feet for the arc. That is Bitcoin. Next one, we got a one from, hey man, thanks for joining us yesterday. Meme score from Steve. Gen X reading glasses on my desk. And Elaine score Bitcoin in every Argentinian's wallet and all over the world. There we go. We ran out of time, so we don't have any more. We ran out of time. Anyways, guys, get your meme scores in the live chat ASAP so we can get to them. And I want to give a shout out to Simply Bitcoin's Telegram group. We're almost at 1,000 people, 100 people away from 1,000 people in the Simply Bitcoin channel. You got to go to www.t.me/simplybitcointv to join. And also check out the written version of this show, Simply Bitcoin. Napoleon is going crazy. My girlfriend's Pomeranian, so I apologize, the dog barking in the back. Go to www.simplybitcoin.news and subscribe to our Substack. Even though everything we do is free, but it really, really helps the channel. So if you feel so inclined, it's only $7 a month. Go to simplybitcoin.news. I also want to give a very special shout out to our awesome guests. Rajat, thank you so much for joining us today. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on the interwebs?
It was a pleasure being on here. I actually post on Instagram and Twitter. My username on Twitter is Rajat Soni Finance. There's no I in the finance. And then on Instagram, it's the same thing, Rajat Soni Finance, but there is an I in the finance.
Okay. Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you joining us today. And this is what Simply Bitcoin is all about, guys. Simply Bitcoin, we try to bring in Bitcoiners from all walks of life, whether they're known, they're well known. We like to give them the platform, specifically the culture segment, so that they can tell their stories, right? Because there's always a unique story. You know, we all come to Bitcoin from different angles, different perspectives, but we always end up in the same place. And the same place is Bitcoin is the best money the world has ever seen. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to Simply Bitcoin Live this week. We made it till the end of the week, Opti. Shout out to us, bro. Holy cow, is it a grind every single time. We love you all. We wouldn't be here without you. We appreciate you guys. And we really, really like it if you smash the like button. Really helps the video, helps with the YouTube algorithm. And of course, if you feel like we provided you value, consider subscribing to Simply Bitcoin. But the number one thing you could do to help all Bitcoin content, not just ours, and spread the peaceful Bitcoin revolution is share this video. Share all Bitcoin content. Don't be exclusive, be inclusive. Of course, don't share shitcoin content, because that'll be counterproductive. But I think you guys get the gist of it. Anyways, if you want to continue the party, we're holding it down until 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're co-hosting a Spaces with our friends over at Swan Bitcoin. Best place to build your Bitcoin stack. Shout out to the best producer in the game, producer Jacob, who's behind the Swan handle. Guys, we love you all, and we hope to see you in the Twitter Spaces. But if not, we will see you 12:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday for a brand new episode of Simply Bitcoin Live.
Oh my goodness. Oh, I'm just laughing at Nico at the very end. Anyways, what's up, everyone? How you guys doing? You already know this is the Fridays. Simply Bitcoin Spaces. I have a few friends up here, but I got to do the PSA. This is a Bitcoin space by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. So come up here. If you are a Bitcoiner, actually, I do look at your guys' profiles. So make sure you are a Bitcoiner or you have some Bitcoin stuff going on, or else I probably won't bring you up here. I'm the captain now. Anyways, what's up, guys? I had fun. Today was a good day. You know, it really is a grind doing content, but every Friday, it's like I'm finally recharged. You know, I'm ready for the weekend. Now I just got to make sure I don't have too much fun on the weekend, so I'm ready for Monday. Anyways. Yeah, Mihai's laughing. What's up, guys? All right. I think Nate came up first. Nate, are you going to troll me? Are you trolling me already, or are we adding to the signal? Are we having fun on Friday Spaces? Are we adding to the signal today? What's up, Nate?
Optimus. What does Rafael Edward Cruz look like?